May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The expert in the law stands up with a question to test Jesus. Literally, a question to tempt him or to try his character. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The man asks. Jesus suggests that since this man is, after all, himself an expert in religious law, he might already know the answer to this question he's asking, and it turns out he does. He must love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, and with all his mind, and love his neighbor as he does himself. That's what's written in the law. That's what he's to do. That's right, Jesus says, you've got it. That's the right answer. But now the man wants to justify himself, the story tells us. Literally, he wants to show himself to be a righteous person or to absolve himself from any guilt. And so he asks a clarifying question. And who is my neighbor, Jesus? Who is this lawyer? Who is this expert in the law, standing there among the 70 disciples who've just returned from this exciting mission to all the surrounding towns? Why does he ask about inheriting eternal life if he already knows the answer to this question? Why does he feel the need to justify himself and free himself from guilt? Well, perhaps the answer is in the parable itself. The guilty ones in the parable are clear. It's the two who pass him by, right? The two men who see the hurting man alone, bleeding, defenseless on the side of a dangerous road, and yet pass by on the other side. Like the lawyer, these two men know what they are supposed to do. They know the laws and rules and commandments of their faith. They are to love God and love their neighbor with everything that is in them. But they don't. They pass by on the other side. Why? There's more than one possible answer to this, of course. Maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe they were on their way to an important destination where they were going to go help a lot of other people, right? They are religious leaders. Maybe it's an important religious event that they're headed to. Some scholars speculate that because of these men's roles as religious leaders, they don't want to break purity laws and become ritually unclean by stopping to help a person that is injured and maybe even dying. But all of this seems a little unlikely to me, especially as keeping schedules or keeping purity laws was not considered more important than loving God and loving your neighbor. It was not more important than stopping to help someone who was desperately in need. I think the most plausible reason for these men passing by on the other side was given by a greater preacher and interpreter than I. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. takes up this parable that we call the Good Samaritan in his famous I've Been to the Mountaintop speech. And after speculating about the reasons for their passing by that preachers have used their imaginations to totally concoct over the years, Reverend Dr. King says this. He says, I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. You see, the Jericho Road is a dangerous road. It's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking, and he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to lure them there for quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? Fear. good old-fashioned fear. Fear for themselves. Fear for their own well-being. And I think that's the fear behind the lawyer's question, too. His first question, after all, is about eternal life. What will happen to me? What's going to happen to me, Jesus? What will happen to me? How often do we ask that question, too? What will happen to me? What will happen to me to stop this person, if I stop to help this person on the way to where I'm going? Will I miss my train? Will I be late for my appointment? Will I not have the money I need for my own dream or my own family? And like the lawyer, we ask in a far bigger way too, what will happen to me? In an eternal life kind of way. What will happen to me when I die, Jesus? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Instead of focusing on the life that's set before us right now, and all that has been entrusted to us now in this life, here in this place, we start worrying about what's going to happen next. We're already looking for what we are going to get next. That sort of self-focused question, that's the very definition of what sin is. It's worrying about your own eternal life when your neighbor is struggling just to survive this life. Reverend Dr. King knew that question. No doubt he had heard it from countless people in his work for civil rights and in the Poor People's Campaign. He heard it from well-meaning people, good Christians, who agreed with him, who came to church and prayed and worried about their eternal life, but who couldn't give much to their life and the life that their neighbor was living right now. To his listeners in Memphis in that speech, he said, "This is the question before you tonight, not if I help the sanitation workers, what will happen to my job, not if I help to stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all of the hours I usually spend in my office every day and every week as a pastor?" Ooh, as a pastor, yikes. The question is not, if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. Not if I stop to help, what will happen to me, but if I don't stop to help, what will happen to them? And the parable makes clear that Jesus has just one answer for this fearful question. There is just one answer to it. Love. A love that asks a different question. That's the love of God, the love of Jesus, the neighborly love, the love that asks not after our own well-being, but is concerned, deeply concerned about what will happen to our neighbor. The lawyer asked these questions about neighborly love to tempt or to test Jesus. And I imagine they did tempt him. Jesus was, after all, human. He too had felt that kind of fear, the fear that may have made him wonder, if I keep preaching these things that I'm preaching, what will happen to me? If I keep healing people, what will happen to me? If I keep socializing with the poor and the outcast, if I keep feeding the hungry and welcoming the stranger, what will happen to me? If I keep turning things upside down, what will happen to me? But then Jesus took that temptation, he took that devil, and he pushed it aside. He pushed it aside, and he looked at you. You. Jesus pushed it aside and looked at you, and he asked, if I don't do it, what will happen to them? Jesus took that fear, and he answered it with love. He answered it with love, 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 love that led him all the way to the cross. Reverend Dr. King's I've Been to the Mountaintop speech is a well-known speech because it's the last speech he ever gave. The question he asked was not, if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question he asked was, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? So Reverend Dr. King was in Memphis that day to support the sanitation workers' strike. And that night, he gave a speech to a crowded house, a full audience. And the next day, he was assassinated. Not what will happen to me if I do, but what will happen to them if I don't. Jesus has only one answer. Love, 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 love. If we are to follow in the way of Jesus, there is only one answer to that fearful, turned in on the self question, what will happen to me? The answer is never to cross to the other side to preserve your own safety. The answer is never that you're on your way to somewhere more important. The answer is never that it's okay because there are some neighbors that we are allowed to ignore. The answer is love. Love, 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 love. The answer is love because that's the only answer Jesus has for you. When faced with the question, what will happen to me, the only answer Jesus is going to give you is love. Now go and do likewise. Thanks be to God. Amen.